Blog Talk Radio.
What's your story? What do you believe? What are you willing for others to see? Are you hiding behind some false idea? The time has come to change your thinking and find your mission as you persevere and build a team with a cause that's clear. Challenge yourself and
good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the What It Success Show with myself, V.S. Grenier, and Marcia Casper Cook. So I feel like I have like a mouthful in my mouth when I was saying that today. It's all those S's in success. Anyways, we welcome you guys to the show. It is 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Mountain, noon Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern on April 20th. And just for a fun announcement, yesterday was my 9-year anniversary, Marcia.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Yeah, my husband was out of town. He got home late last night. He came home. He brought home an anniversary cake. It was so cute.
Oh, that was sweet. That's nice. That's good for a romance book there. That's nice, a little cake.
Yeah, it was very cute. He's like, you'll never guess what I got you. I'm sort of thinking, what in the heck? This is what he texted me as he told me he was sitting in the road. Because, you know, this is how I spent my anniversary yesterday. Running around like a crazy writer and editor, you know, trying to, like...
Yes, I do know how that is, yeah.
You know, trying to find what I needed in my stacks and piles of papers and folders all over my office, right? Mm-hmm. Listen to my 2-year-old scream all day long because she didn't want to take a nap. Went to a soccer game.
I know.
Yeah.
I talked to you when you were going to put her for a nap, and I was thinking, like, I'd like a nap, too.
I know. And I'm sort of thinking, and my son comes home from high school, and he looks at me, he's like, isn't it your anniversary? I said, yeah, and it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
So my husband texted me and was like, okay, I'm heading home because he was up in Salt Lake City. And he was just like, and you'll never guess what I got you for our anniversary. I'm starting thinking, okay, whatever he got me up there has to be something that is not where we're at, since we're, you know, down here in like the southern desert tip of Utah and in the St. George area. And I'm like, what in the heck would he have gotten me up there? And, of course, my daughter's like, jewelry. I'm like, oh, yes, I don't think that jewelry.
Yeah, jewelry works, but it doesn't get, not always happening.
Yeah, and that would be something you would guess, because you're trying to tell me what to guess. Well, I think like 2 or 3 years ago, there's a new company. I don't know if they're all over the U.S., but it's called Nothing But Cakes.
No,
and
I don't know.
Okay, well, they're really, really good. Well, back when we were getting the Stories for Children blog, Families Matter, which now we have the radio show that goes with it.
Right.
Because first we started with the blog 3 years ago. When we first got that going, you know, we had a lot of companies contact us. Well, they had contacted us. Well, I know they're in a bunch of different states. I just don't know all the different states they're in. I don't think they're in every state in the U.S. But anyways, they contacted us and asked us if we would, if we'd be willing to sample their product, because they were just, you know, really getting going at the time. And so, there just happened to be a new franchisee who he was down in my area visiting family, because she's up toward Layton is where her shop was at. But so she brought down all the way from northern Utah to southern Utah some of the cakes for us to sample.
Oh, that was nice.
Which was really cool. I kid you not, I have never, and I mean, and we had like a really nice gourmet place out of L.A. County, because that's where I used to live when my husband and I got married.
What's the name
wedding
of the place? I mean, I'll look them up.
Nothing But
Cake. Maybe we have them.
Yeah, you might have one in the Chicago area.
Well, we got a lot of cupcake places now and things. I mean, it's big
but
now.
It was better than our wedding cake. And, I mean, we had, like, a gourmet, you know, baker, you know, whatever they're called, the top type, you know, because I know they're not, like, a gourmet chef. I don't know what the top bakers are called, but, you know, do a wedding cake for us out of the LA area, because that's where we lived when we got married. And this cake is probably like it's so moist and just decadent. It's just, they're amazing. And they're just a bundt cake.
Look how cute. Yeah, it's really cute. You know, it's on here. Yeah, it's probably on Pinterest, actually, because it's such a cute little, it's really cute.
Yeah,
it's very cute. And, you know, because people really like cake, they like, you know, and they love cupcakes, you know, and the cupcake, you know, the smaller things are getting more popular because people, even if they're on a diet, they just want to have it. And they even say people, when they're on diets, just have something than rather than never eat it.
Yeah,
now, I don't like sweets. I never did, but, you know, but I never cared about it. But people really do love it.
Yeah, yeah. My husband's a huge cake person. So, and he, if it's cake, he tries it. But so, and he absolutely loves it. So it was really cute because we don't have one down here in our area. So he brought one all the way from Salt Lake City. And just for those people who aren't sure, because a lot of people think that St. George, Utah is really close to Salt Lake City. It's about a 5 to 6 hour drive.
Wow.
So that's how far he drove this cake all the way to me.
Well, that was very sweet, so then. Well, then you don't need jewelry. You have the cake.
No, I have my cake. It's a very sweet husband, yeah. Because it is one of the best. I just so people know, I don't like cake. I hate cake. I absolutely hate it. But I will eat this one. This is like the only cake I will eat. So the fact that he would drive that cake all the way down to me, knowing it's the only cake I eat, was
well. Then
really,
you'll keep
really
him for a little while longer.
Yes, I guess we made the 7-year itch. Now we're at the 9-year mark.
Right.
So next year's the big 10, and if we make it to that, I figure we're doing good. You know, no divorces in our future, hopefully.
I'm married for a really long time, and it's really funny because I thought it was a great idea when we got married that I should get married on my birthday. God knows I was stupid. I was like very young, okay? I was like out of high school. So, this is really a good idea. And so actually it is now because now we just have anniversaries. Don't say birthdays now anymore. So it's like because I guess I thought it was a cute idea. And that would be me thinking of an idea and then all of a sudden going, what?
When we got married 9 years ago, it was literally on a Saturday the day before Easter.
Well, okay. Well, we didn't even talk about this, but it's really funny. But you were mentioning that your mom's birthday was on Halloween.
Right.
And the funny part is I did a story about a little kid, and I never really had it published, that his birthday, he really didn't like Halloween because of the fact that he didn't have a birthday. And I think you had a show, you had an author on, you were talking about that. I was listening on the radio.
And it's true, because the reason why we got onto it is because this year, because, my daughter, her birthday is really close to our anniversary. Her birthday is on the 8th of April, and, which was Easter Sunday this year. So Easter either falls on my anniversary or on my daughter's birthday. And my son's birthday is at Memorial Day.
And it's weird. I guess you don't think about it. It seems like a good idea, like other things.
But
stories or books seems like a good idea, and then all of a sudden you go like, "What?"
Yeah. Well, you think that all the kids have their birthdays on Christmas, or I have a writing friend whose birthday is on leap year.
Yeah.
So technically, her birthday is only every 4 years. So
well,
I might like it.
I might like it.
Yeah, she might throw in that technically she's younger than all of us because her birthday only happens every 4 years. But I asked her about it. I'm like, well, "What would your parents do?" She's
that
like, they usually pick the day before the day after leap year to celebrate, since technically your birthday doesn't really roll around.
I'll change mine to leap year. Which
brings us obviously to our topic today because, a lot of people think about writing books about, holidays. And like you're saying, you have a book about, a character whose birthday is on Halloween. And, as writers, we sit down to write, and a lot of us get discouraged because it is such a process to write a book from idea to a manuscript that is submittable for publication.
Yes.
And there are so many books out there, to help writers become better writers, tips on revision, editing, how to get your idea, on paper, plotting, character development, world building. There's a lot of different books out there. And I'm a huge fan of Writer's Digest. I mean, I get their magazine. I get their tutorials that they send out.
Yeah, I used to get it all the time.
I mean, my newsletter that I do, SSC Newsletter for Writers, has been in the 101 best websites and newsletters, back in 2009. There's a lot of people, Marcia, that you and I both know that have had their websites multiple times.
Yeah.
In the 101 best websites for writers listed. So, I mean, it's a great resource. And I was flipping through it because I have, in which we're actually going to be adding to our World of Ink Network website, you know, a writer digest store, because I really like a lot of their books. But I was noticing that a big trend that's been popping up lately is how to write your book in 30 days. And
yes.
Writer's Digest has a couple of books like that. I think Hay House Publishing, which is another publisher that really caters to, you know, inspiration and motivation for writers and people in different
industries.
And they
have a screenplay contest like that. I mean, they do have a lot of things like that, but, you know, but I think, you know, because some writers just, they're always going to say they're going to do it, and they never do. And it's a good way to start, but the thing is that you always, I say, like, okay, fine, if I'm doing a revision on something, a screenplay, I go, okay, I'll be done in, like, a few days. And that's, like, a month later, I'm going, like, what? Because I, you know, I like it to be right. And, you know, you think you can do it, and you try, but sometimes it just doesn't work for you to do it that fast. I mean, but I think sometimes these contests, at least it gets the writer writing.
Well, and I agree, because I love November, which is national, you know, the National Novel Writing Month, and they have Nano, and I do it, I don't do it, oh, I haven't done it every year, but I do it almost every year. There's been a couple of years I haven't, just because I've been too busy, but, you know, it's a really great time to sit down, you know, and to try and reach that, you know, 50,000, you know, word limit, and hopefully it's your whole book down on paper. But I've talked to a lot of authors, And what kind of got me, you know, on this was, you know, this one author's like, well, I got this book, and I don't know if it's the Writer's Digest, you know, 30 days to write your book, or if it was a different one that was similar to that. But she was telling me that she got this book that was basically going to get her to write her novel, this idea she's had forever in her head. Okay, it's where it's only been in her head, no research, nothing, just this idea in her head, to write it in 30 days. And she was really disappointed because she looked at it after the 30 days going, you know, reading the book, following the steps. And she was like, she sent it to me. She's like, what do you think? I'm like, well, it needs some major revision. This looks like a rough draft. And she's like, well, I should have, you know, a publishable manuscript based on this book. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, the people who sign up in November for National Writing Month, that sign up and have an idea in their head, sit down and write their 50,000 words, all they're doing is regurgitating out the information.
Yeah.
The people
because, you know, it does take time. You know, and
it does.
Like, I think, you know, like for me, like sometimes, you know, it's very hard if you change, once you make a character, and even if you don't develop the character that much, you give them a name, then all of a sudden you go like, well, maybe I shouldn't use that name. And then, you know, sometimes, like my editor has pointed out to me that I do use some of the same names. I don't know why. You know, in some of my screenplays, I maybe see that person as that, you know, style, you know,
right.
And it just comes out as that name. But, you know, when you decide and you're going to name a character, then if you try to name it again, the character, it doesn't work well because you already, it's kind of like you give a baby a name, and if you change the name, I know people that have done that, and like their mothers have said, like, I gave you this name, I can't call you another name. It's your name, you know. It just is what you, you know, you grow as and whatever. And even if it's for a short while when you're writing a character, somehow it just sticks to that person. And you, for whatever the reason is, maybe people don't realize that they are visualizing some of this. And sometimes when you do that, you can't change the name. It's very hard to do. I think it's very hard. And so I think, like, that's a step that I do. Like, and, you know, sometimes, you know, they tell you to write all the characteristics down in the books. You know, write up what you think. But you know what? For me, I think sometimes I have to let the character develop as like a person would. And because the thing is that sometimes they just don't. And I heard somebody on Fran's show yesterday, they were talking about it just doesn't happen sometimes. The character just, and writers really understand this. Other people probably think we're out of our minds, but the truth is the characters do start to develop, and you go like, oh, no, they wouldn't do that. Or, yes, they would do that. And it happens. And that's what the best thing for people to do is actually sit down and start writing. Because, like, I myself sometimes I'll go, okay, I have a little beginning. I'll go, I'm going to start this. And unless you really start it, it doesn't become a story. Because it develops as you do it.
And I agree. And I'm not knocking anybody who's written, you know, if it ever gets back to an author or publisher to sell those books about writing, you know, a manuscript in 30 days. I'm not knocking it. I mean, it gets you down. It gets you writing. But the thing that I think – especially a lot of new writers or people are like, you know, I think I want to try this. And so they get the book thinking, you know, it's really easy. It there's a lot of prep work that happens. The writers that I've seen that have done the in November the national, you know, novel writing, nano contest thing. The ones that have done that and then turn around and get a book published from that, either spend a year afterwards doing a lot of revisions, or did a lot, and usually the majority of them that I've seen that have, like, you know, really polished, great plotting, you know, character development, you know, story, you know, lines, really, you know, has the writer's journey, the whole, you know, the building of the different conflicts and scenes and, you know, and all of that, and the intimacy that you need with your reader in their storyline, is because they did all the prep work beforehand. They did all their character building, you know, stuff. They're really knowing who the characters were, really, you know, outlining what they wanted to write, but they didn't actually start writing the book until November hit, when they actually signed up for the nano. And the same thing goes with, you know, if you're going to get a book, you know, it's going to get you to write a, you know, write your whatever your story is, you know, your book idea, your script idea, whatever it is, in 30 days, the thing you need to look at is this just going to give me my rough draft? Is this something that after I have my rough draft that's going to, you know, help me in 30 days get this really polished so maybe it will be ready for submission or close to? I mean, you got to look at different planes. I think, yeah, I know I mentioned this to you, you know, when we were talking about doing this show, Marcia, that I always laugh when I watch movies that are based on writers, you know, the writer's the main character. I don't care which movie it is that you're watching. I don't care if it's a horror movie to a love comedy, you know, like Romancing the Stone. I remember when I was a kid watching Romancing the Stone, I mean, a movie most of us know really well, and, you know, there's Gene Wilder, you know, which is, you know, sits down her typewriter, and she starts typing out a romance novel, and she's just pounding on the keys. There's no whiteout. There's no her going back on the typewriter and striking stuff out. There's no red pen. No, none of that. She's just typing away, pulls out one sheet, lays it down, pulls out the other sheet, you know, lays it down. And all of a sudden she types the end, puts, you know, types her title page, has a nice little stack, makes it all nice, and calls her agent or editor, I don't know who the character was in the show, and says, okay, it's done. And you're going, okay, isn't that great, man? Writers are just so amazingly gifted. Yep. Then I started writing. I watch those movies now and laugh, going, I wish.
Yeah. Because, no, it is true. You know, and a lot of people, though, they do write with outlines. I don't. But, you know, I do write, you know, and I think we talked about it on another show, that I do write actually longhand sometimes because I write faster that way and I just, my mind thinks that way. But once I get to the computer, it does change. It just molds into more of a story, but I have an idea of where I'm going sometimes. It doesn't mean, you know, I do a lot of conversation because in dialogue, you know, especially because you do that when you're writing a script, but, you know, it's easy for me to do the dialogue. It's tough to do description, and, you know, we talked about that, I think, Fran, on Tuesday's show, because some people aren't as descriptive as they need to be, and some people can't write dialogue, so you have to work at both because you need both. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not everybody's good at everything, but the more you write, I mean, I always feel that's why I've done this for years, is try to, you know, tell people that they have to keep writing because I think they get better. And we should probably say, you know, that we should thank Blog Talk Radio for featuring us as a pick today. And they've been very good. We've had a really good week of a lot of people listening into our shows, and they've been picking us. So we're really, you know, I wanted to say thank you to them because they really have, you know, helped a lot, and the people that listen to us have helped a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
and they get a lot of people submitting their shows, you know, daily. So
yeah. I'm shocked. I mean, it was really great, and it's, you know, that it's you and I, and, you know, because you never know, you just don't know who they're going to pick.
Right.
You know, and that's a good thing. So, I mean, you know, I wanted to thank them for that. And, you know, I mean, this week we've had a lot of different writers on because Fran has been on and I've been on and Fran has a couple guests. And, you know, we have a lot of shows and we give a lot of, you know, advice because we do it. And we every writer really writes differently, but we all have the same problems, is getting the finished product to where we like it. And that is hard.
It is hard, and from all my shows, and I can tell you the answer is definitely going to be no, because I've asked them all, you know, how long did it take, you know, from start to finish. Have you had one author tell you? And I mean, and those of you listening realize a lot of the authors Marcia and I talk to are multi-published authors. It's not
yes.
like it was the first book. It's not like they, you know, typed it out, you know, and
right.
went and self-published it.
They're very
it
successful.
And,
yeah, they're very
Yeah, and went and self-published a book, and it's the only book they've ever done. I mean, these are people who have done columns and scripts and,
right.
you know, short stories in magazines,
right.
poems, have been traditionally and self, you know, and have self-published. I mean, they've been in all the different, you know, genres of writing and in publishing, and I have not had one author tell me, yeah, in 30 days, from start to finish, my book
yeah.
was done, off to the publisher, and wow, it was great.
Yeah. I haven't had anybody either really that said
no,
that.
Most of them told me it took them at least 1 year, if not two or three.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, like, in my case, you know, but I do think, though, what's happened now, which we know we talked about before, is writer's block occurs from too much PR, and that's really what's happening now. Too
yeah.
much PR. I'm trying to figure out all the things that work and that don't work. And, you know, there's so many new things, you know, out there. There's event parties now that those sound good. I mean, you know, that's one of the things we try to do, and that's one of the things we do on both of our shows is we try things, and some of them don't work. You know, and
right.
now this new Pinterest, I mean, it seems to be very interesting. It's kind of Facebook without words. And
mm-hmm.
it and books are in there. And I think it's you repin it and things like that. And I do think that people will see books and movies and things that they normally wouldn't see because there's a lot of different people. It's not right. It's not just a writing thing. And it's not promoting writing. It's just looking at different kinds of pictures, which you think might not be as much fun as actually when you look at some of it, you'll see like there's cakes, cookies, there's dessert, there's, you know, there's lots of things. There's recipes, there's books, there's movies, there's, you know, clothing, there's different styles, and there's a lot of men on it and women. It's just, it's a wedding, houses, it's interesting. You know, and I think a lot of people are on that. So that's a good way, it seems to me now, for people to get, you know, to see other people's, what they're thinking, what they like in movies, what they like in books. You know, because you don't really know that, you know, and different parts of the country like different things too.
Yeah.
You know, and movies, some movies do better in, you know, different locations. And I think this is something interesting. I think because Facebook now has, you know, they've changed it. A lot of people aren't liking it that much. And you know, sometimes you don't scroll down to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
But in Pinterest, it's like right in front of you. So I
well,
think,
out of,
you know.
Yeah. Ahead. Well, I was going to say, well, out of all the things that you've seen going on with writing, and you know, and there's, you know, different, which I know you and I, we've been talking about adding teleseminars as well to the World of Ink besides just our shows, so people can, you know, actually sign up and
yeah.
ask questions.
I do, you know what, I have to tell you, I've listened to a lot of webinars, and I've really learned a lot.
I have too. That's one thing I love about the Writer's Digest tutorials, because they're like that. It's where you just listen, and it's all a bunch of information, but you don't get to interact like you do with a webinar or in a teleclass.
Right.
But,
well, but some of the webinars you don't talk, though. All you
yeah.
do is you just listen in. You know, you call
and
in the number.
And that's what the Writer's Digest tutorial is like. You just
yeah.
listen, but my question to you is, Marcia, with everything we see going on with marketing and all the different blogs on writing tips and books out there to, you know, shortcut to getting your book published, you know, and whatever else they want to call them. And, you know, and I'm not knocking it. I mean, it's there's great information there. I mean, what do you feel are, like, the key things that writers need to keep in mind? Because I think, unfortunately, and I know we've talked about this, a lot of people are quitting before they even get started. And when I say that, what I mean is they've published one book or they've published one, you know, three books max maybe, and they're not seeing results, and so they give up. So they're giving up within, like, 1 to 3 years.
I see already, since even we started the shows, like, over 2 years ago, a lot of the people that we knew, they're not there anymore. They're not out there. They just gave up. And that I've done this for, like, I don't know, almost 20 years, and I've been a signatory agent for like 16, and I always feel like my job was to keep them writing. And I couldn't, some of the people, because they just were upset about the rejection letters. And,
well, yeah.
you know, and I feel that they should stay, but they don't want to stay. And I know from my own experience that actually I look at my work from the past, and it wasn't good enough. Yeah, you know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good enough. It really
wasn't. I laughed at the very first short story. The first thing I ever had published was a short story. I look at that now, and it, even though I'm still very proud of it because it was my first publication, I just
yeah,
I'm
I
like,
mean,
really?
You grow.
That's,
I mean, you hope.
That's really what I wrote.
But I will say one thing, though, with all this PR, I don't know. See, I like Facebook. I like Twitter. I like the people because I've met so many different people that I never would have met, and I really like that. However, I just want people. That's why, actually, I am going to take clients now. I'm going to try what I wanted to try for years, which I have done, had people been optioned for movies. I'm taking on clients with books, and I am not stopping until I get this done. I think that I know for a fact, no matter how many scripts we send to people, they go, oh, it's not what we want, we don't like this, you know, it's a good script, but maybe not next time. And so I know that I really feel in my heart that books, if they like the book, they will get a screenwriter and they will get it the way they want it. You know, because when you write a screenplay, you know, there's lots of ways to change it. But the fact is, you keep changing it, it doesn't mean they're going to take it. It's the idea. So I'm thinking the books, there's so many good writers out there that
right.
The books should be movies. And even if they're not best-selling authors, it should put them in the market for to have their script, you know, a script made from their book, and they're good enough to do that. So I think that
right.
That's what I'm going to try to do now, and I'm really going to work on that because, you know, I always change what I'm doing, and I said to my husband, I said, well, you know, I'm just going to work Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to write. I didn't hear anything. He was at work. I don't hear a word. I'm thinking like, all right, I know, that's a lie. You know it's a lie. I know it. You know, because I really say to myself, okay, I'm not going to stay up late, but you know as well as I do, the more things we do, it takes time. But I just feel like I want to get a lot of things done, and that's what happens to a lot of writers. They keep doing too much sometimes. And I'm
yeah.
one of them. I'm one of them.
Oh,
I can't help it.
Yeah, and I'm just a catalyst, and I put my own personal writing on hold just because of
yeah.
all the other stuff that I'm busy doing. And so it's hurting me as a, you know, for my writing career, not my editorial career, but in my or coaching career, but in my writing career, as my personal writing self, because I've put my writing on hold. But that's a choice I made because, sorry, you can hear my
tears. There is exactly one of the reasons why you made
that's it. One of the reasons why I put my writing on hold.
That is what happens.
You
know, you have
small
noise. Children. Right. You know,
right.
And
but,
that, it makes a difference. But you,
well, and,
you know.
And that's what really got me started on the show because, you know, I know there's a lot of parents who are like, well, if I can write a book in 30 days, you know, when I have a two-year-old running through my house like I do, you know, wow, how great is that? But the reality is it takes more than that. I mean, yeah,
yeah.
In 30 days you can regurgitate it onto paper, or in
yeah.
30 days, yeah, you could probably take the regurgitated manuscript and do some revisions. But is it really ready for submission? Is it really, you know, something that you can send to an agent or a publisher and actually be
no,
proud
of? No, it's probably
you...
not. But in today's market, you know, and some people have had a very good success rate of books that are just fair. Getting out
right.
there, and they have, you know, and you know, years ago this was not ever going to happen, but it does happen now with self-publishing. And I believe in self-publishing, but I also believe in editing. And you know, but I can't say that I have not seen people be successful, which they are, and their books aren't edited, and they just keep pumping them out. I mean, and they do.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because you had an author on your show on A Good Story Is a Good Story that you know has a it's I think she it was an ebook, right?
Yeah,
that. Is the editing is horrific. She knows there's errors in the book, but it's selling.
Well, there, you know, well, there, it's not, I don't know if I've had people on my show and they weren't sure if the book was, you know, they were very new at it. They went right out there and the book sold. So, I mean,
yeah.
There is no rhyme or reason why this happens. And actually, they're good writers. They never expected that to happen. They just were taking a shot at it. And people
right.
started liking their stories, and now they have careers. So, I mean, one of the things also is short stories. And I think that I didn't realize that. There's a lot of small stories that are maybe 30,000 words or, you know, 19,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, and honestly, I didn't realize that. And
yeah,
short
stories and flash fiction is picking up. And I will say, for short stories and flash fiction, yes. You can, because I know this, because I write
yeah.
in that genre, and that's what I got started in, because I have probably now over 40 or 50 published stories in that genre, that, yes, you can actually write those from start to finish and submit them in 30 days. But, you know, if you're looking at a
yeah.
full-length 50,000-word novel or more,
right.
probably not.
I know. But, you know, I actually, and I think that I was listening to Joanne Buchanan when she had her show. Jack Remick was on it, and you know, on Shark Radio, and they were talking about, and this is stuck in my mind more than anything else. I'm going to have Jack Remick on. He's on my show before, and he said a short book is a novella, which is a good thing, and that is a good thing to send to the production companies because he's right. They're not going to sit and read a long book. And I know that, you know, occasionally
yeah.
it happens, but if it's short, and then they can have somebody write a script. And, you know, because the ideas are good, the thoughts are good, the characters are good. So I think there's a lot of new things for people that really can't commit to writing a 400-page book. I don't think
yeah.
I could write a 400-page book. I could, but I don't think I would. But,
yeah.
you know, I
well,
think, and the market has changed. You don't have to write a 400-page book to be successful.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, talking about books to movies as well, you know, when you have a book that's 400 pages or more, you know, I mean, think about it. When you have something that's like 100,000 words, and here it is, and, you know, it might not be a New York bestseller, but someone in Hollywood or wherever, you know, all the different public, you know, production companies are, you know, hear about it, you know, someone in Chicago, whatever, and I think about this all the time. You know, you look at, and I'll use Harry Potter since I'm such a huge Harry Potter fan. I mean, the first three books with Harry Potter, because they weren't long books, because they're for middle grade readers,
right.
It wasn't too much chopping to make a good movie.
Right.
But once
exactly.
you got to Goblet of Fire, I remember when I thought about that when the fourth movie was coming out, Goblet of Fire, which is the book. Looking at my husband and saying, what are they going to do? This either is going to have to be two movies, a two-part movie,
yeah.
or they're going to have to pick what they're going to focus on, which, of course, they focused on the Triwizard Tournament because that's
right.
the core of the story, and it's also when Voldemort reappears. But, you know, I mean, by the time they got to the last book, they realized we can't cut half the book and throw it in the trash can because that's important to the storyline. So they had to do
right.
it in two parts.
Right.
And you're right. I think that's exactly what's happening, why – you know, some people are like, well, I really want to see my book go into movie, and as wonderful it is, they sit down and write the script, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love writing scripts, you know, and I mean, yeah, I do write books, but I love writing scripts, and it's really fun, and it's, you know, and it's hard. It's very hard, because you have to really edit yourself out, and that, one of the things about when I, because I've written all these scripts, I learned how to write better in general because I edit myself out instead of repeating the same thing over and over again or making very long, drawn-out sentences and just description in a script that teaches you how to really edit yourself out. And it also is a perfect outline to do for a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it really works well as one because, you know, when you write the book, you add more in it and, you know, because people, you want to talk about the characters more and you want to get involved.
Well, you
the
have
perfect
the time.
For it. Yeah.
Well, and so you
yeah.
also have the time to develop. Unlike
right.
in a movie, I mean, you only have so many hours that your audience is going to sit there in a chair.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that a lot of the romantic comedies now are an hour and a half, and I think that's really good. It's a fun hour and a half, and I think one of the things is, I think people, when they go to a show, they expect the whole show, you know, to really walk out, and I think if you're entertained, that should be enough, and because a lot of times now everybody's expecting more, but sometimes if you're just sitting and relaxing and just having fun, that should be enough to make a good movie.
Right.
It doesn't have to be an Academy Award movie. It just has to be something that's fun and, you know, you're into the characters while you're watching it and they're interesting and, you know, and you laugh and you walk out feeling good. I think that's a good thing. Because
yeah.
that's why I like to go to the theater. I like to go because I like to watch people when they leave. I want
right.
to see how they are. I want to see if they're, you know, and I'm always listening. My husband goes ahead of me, and I'm just sitting there, I'm listening. And then I like to see if they're sitting there, you know, if it's a really emotional movie, they sit there, and people don't literally move. They just, if it's emotional. And so I think I like to watch all those things because I think it's so much more fun for me to be in, you know, to see what other people are feeling when they see a movie. And when I see a
right.
great movie, I'm really happy. I'm like, it's not my movie, but I'm like thrilled. I go, yes, this was a good story. They had all the pieces together. You understood everything. And at the end, everything kind of, you know, was neatly tied. I happen to like that a lot. I like to know what happens to the characters, you know, even if it's just the last 5 minutes where they go, oh, 2 years later they did this. And
right.
I think people like that.
Well, here's a question for you, Marcia. I'd love for, you know, because
you sit on both sides of the desk just like I do, but you've been doing this, you know, far longer from, you know, and gone through a lot of the changes that have happened in the industry. What would you say are like the few successful tips that every writer, doesn't matter if they're writing, you know, short story flash fiction, to novel writing, to script writing, that will help them maybe be a little bit more focused. So if their goal is, yes, I want to try and write my manuscript within 30 days to, you know, at max 3 months.
Well, I would say I have, you know, I myself make a lot of these mistakes. What I do is I say I'm not going to, I start writing. I have like 15, 20 pages. Then I go back. I think that's very bad to go back. I do it. And it's bad because then you start changing. You need to get the whole story out first and then go back. But right. I wish sometimes I go like, don't go back. Do not look back there. But I do, and a lot of people do. But if you don't, you get your story done faster, and because you're going to go back anyway.
Right, for the revisions.
But you have to go back for revisions. But this way you get the story out and you finish. Otherwise, you don't finish. Because you should keep going back and going like, oh, this could be better. You know, I'm hard on myself. I think a lot of writers are hard on themselves. And I know certainly when someone, you know, says to me, this is the best thing you've ever read, I know I'm in trouble because it's not going to be. Because very few writers are just going like, oh, this is great. I hardly ever, you know.
Yeah.
Every writer can absolutely probably sit down and take their story or script and rewrite it again because you can, but sometimes you have to let it go.
Yeah, I always tell everybody we're probably the hardest critics on our own work.
Oh, my God. And you have to sometimes just finish it. You have to just sit there and you have to, even if it's a tough day that you don't feel like writing, just write anyway.
Right.
I'd like to follow my advice, I really would, and I can't sometimes because I have these habits, and I think most writers do.
Yeah, and the one thing that for me, and I can, you know, because I have still young ones at home, and that's like the big thing. You know, I tell a lot of authors who, you know, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you have kids at home, and I don't care if they're even in high school because I have high school school,
right.
So I have the whole gambit in my house. You know, between all the sports things, between having, you know, a daughter who's home with me 24/7 because she's not in preschool or kindergarten or regular school yet, you know, I told her as much as I would love to say, you know, yeah, I can bust out a picture book, I mean, in 30 days. Could I? Probably, if I had the 6 hours with nobody in my house or 8 hours a day.
But in your case, you do... But in your case, you're doing the stories for the magazine. I mean, there's a limit.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. When you sit down to say, you know, am I going to write a story? You know, I'm going to write my story in 30 days from start to finish so I can, you know, submit it. You have to realize, you have to really take a look at your life and say, what are all the things in my life that are going to be distractions? Do I have kids at home? Do I have a full-time job, you know, or a part-time job? Do I have other commitments? I mean, I'm president of my local writing chapter out here for the League of Utah Writers. I mean, that right there takes about a quarter of my month's free time away.
Yeah. No, I know. And, you know, but, you know, what I used to do, so you don't have to do that anymore with the internet, I used to just go to the library for like an hour or two and just sit there. And now I don't do that because I don't need to go to the library, and that's a bad thing. That's one of the problems why libraries close, because you have the internet and you don't have to. Anything you want to research, you know, I've asked questions. You just put a question in there and it comes up. You just find it, whatever you need.
I've had authors tell me their new thing is they'll go to, like, their favorite coffee spot or, you know, wherever.
I go to Starbucks.
Right.
I had to finish the script, and
so
I go to
get away.
Yeah. And I am lucky that way. I can write with noise. You know, I worked in a pediatric office for years with kids screaming, and it never bothered me. And I can talk over anybody or write over anything, and it doesn't bother me. But at home, sometimes I will say, okay, I think I'll do the laundry. I think I'll do this. And at night, that's why I do stuff. And even at night, you know, I stay up late at night, and I just don't want to sometimes, but I do. And I think a lot of writers do. And I don't know they're great, but I know people that are, everybody's online that I see. And I know I was talking to somebody last night from World Castle. She emailed me and she says, can I call you? And I go, yeah. It's like 12 o'clock at night.
like, yeah, call me now, fine. You know, and it's like, I, you know, one time my husband, he goes to sleep very early. He goes like, were you talking to someone? Oh, yes, I was. Because a lot of people, and certainly people that have young kids, it's easier for them to talk at night when the kids are sleeping.
Yeah, well, I'm like that. I have authors, you know, I had one author that I was working with on an edit who was, well, and I've even done a World of Ink tour with an author who was in South Africa. So I have, you know, authors all around the world that I deal with.
Right, right.
And I'll get phone calls. Sorry, I'm getting my daughter some chips, so it's going to be a little noisy for a second. anyways, that will call. And one time, like, one of them called, like, at 2 o'clock my time. And like, is this too early or too late to be calling you? And I'm like, my house? And just for those who can understand, my husband works for the emergency responders, so like police, fire, the sheriff department, EMS.
Right.
So I'm like, our house is almost a 24-hour house because if it's not me, then it's him.
Right, right.
So,
in my house, I become that way where it's 24 hours, and I really try not to, but it doesn't work for me because I just, I'm better when I'm busier, but I also think I was probably not I can't say better writer, but I think before I really knew what everything was about, I just wrote more, and I didn't think about it as much, and, you know, that thinking about it can be a really big roadblock. And I try to tell people, just keep writing. You know, I was once doing a book signing and somebody said, oh, they were on their third chapter and they didn't really like what was happening. I go, just keep writing. And if you take that out later, it's okay, but it will get you to the next part of what you need to do. And sometimes we stop because we don't know what we want to put next, but then there's a thought and then all of a sudden there's that moment that goes, yes, you got it, you know, and sometimes you don't get it till the very end, that's why you have to go to the end, because sometimes something happens, it happens to me almost everything I've ever done, that it goes, this is right, it works, but it doesn't always work at the beginning.
Right. Well,
throw it away because it didn't work.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because I think that's one reason why I think I've seen authors who, and I'm not saying, you know, writing a manuscript in 30 days. For someone who's been doing this, you know, for a long time and wants to just get faster and tighter with the writing, you know, by all means, I think you guys can pull it off, especially if you know how to time manage it, because you've been writing for years and you're just trying to get quicker so you can turn stuff faster, which, of course, means, you know, possibility, hopefully, for you. But for those who are starting out who are new or very novice to writing, I think for them, they get frustrated because they have such high expectations on what's going to happen in those 30 days.
Yeah.
And you just hit such a great point, because when I teach writing over at Dixie State College for the continuing education program for the adult students, and when I mean adult students, I'm talking like, you know, like 30 plus age people. Okay. So yeah, I don't want to call them the old fogies, because that put me in that category.
Right.
And I'm not no old fogey, but my point is that when you're writing you know, something and it doesn't go the way you planned it in your head or expect it to go in your head, I think we sit there and we look at it and we get frustrated thinking, you know, I'm not cut out for this. And so we give up. But the reality is when I've gone back, just like you said, you know, I might take a scene out. I don't delete it off my page. I actually cut it, because I do everything on the computer. I do some handwritten stuff, and I do some voice recording stuff, because I'm just traveling with my kids, and all of a sudden, you know, the muse strikes, so I have to take care of not losing that information. But when I'm at my computer and actually, like, doing my revisions, I cut and paste that stuff into separate Word files, because even if I don't ever add that scene back somewhere else in my manuscript,
you will use it.
I might use it in another in a complete sequel or a completely new storyline.
Right.
I have no idea. I mean, I've actually pulled some of that stuff, and even though it's never found its way into an actual manuscript for like a story or a book or, you know, short story or whatever, I've used it when I'm doing workshops or go speak at a conference.
You never know.
Example.
What, it's just right. It's just a part that comes out somewhere later. And, you know, and like I always used to think when I do get to page 25 of a script, I at least know if I have a story. And if I can't get there, then sometimes you just might not have a story, though, you know, and sometimes you might have to just say, I don't know, and save it, and then maybe it'll come back to you what you really wanted to do, or maybe it'll never, and so you'll just keep writing something else. But sometimes it just isn't a story, you know, and you just have
right.
to just admit it and say, like, okay, fine, you know.
But at least
not.
It's great practice. I mean, I have one scene that I absolutely love, and I had it in a story and I ended up pulling it out because it just didn't work. And it's in one of the YA novels that I've been working on for, like, by the way, everybody, just so you know, for the last 2.5 years. So obviously my 30-day get a manuscript from start to finish does not work for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So here I am 2.5 years later, but I pulled this scene out, and I love this scene. So anytime I talk about description and scene setting, I use this scene because I love it, because it's so descriptive. It's just very vivid. When I read it, like, I have not had one student that I've read it to not walk up to me and say, I couldn't see where we were at all. I mean, everybody who has ever heard me read it walks up to me and goes, oh my gosh, I felt like I was right there, and I was your. And I never see who the character is, because it's all written first person, so it's I the whole way. So I don't tell you if it's a girl, I don't tell you if it's a guy, but every character is like, I felt like I was your character.
Yeah.
That I was literally your character, sitting there visually seeing this for myself. And I love it. It's such a great scene. But will it ever find a way into one of my stories? So far, nope.
Maybe it will. But I mean,
and maybe it will
10 years
from now.
And sometimes writing with little index cards are really good. I think I read Sid Field at the beginning when I first started script writing, and they said just write everything down, and, you know, and then there are other people that have said they do that for chapters, and I think that's a very good idea.
Post-it notes.
It focuses you.
Yeah, I use post-it notes, and then I, like, rearrange them.
Yeah.
And I have a plaque that I think my mom made it for me. Yeah, my mom made it for me. It says, what did I do today? And I have all these, and it's, you know, it's this big plaque where you can, like, it's not a cork board. It's kind of like a, I don't know what it is exactly. But, you know, you can staple or tape or, you know,
yeah,
push
stuff
pin
on
stuff.
It, right.
Yeah, whatever. You know, kind of like a cork board. But it has, like, areas where you can also use chalk to write on it. It's really cool. Anyways, but that's what I do. I put all my post-it notes up there when I'm working on a manuscript. That way I can pull them off and go, nope, this needs to move here. Nope, I need to introduce this character here. No, I decide I'm going to introduce them down here. And
right.
I can move it around. And my son laughs at it.
But no,
like,
you can, because, you know,
yeah.
you just keep
he's
changing.
Like, what is that, a
you know,
puzzle?
Right. And you change, you know, because sometimes, you know, it does change. And, you know, and that's why, I mean, there are so many different things that people use, different techniques. But basically, I really always have just felt, just keep writing, you know, and whatever it is, just keep writing and don't give up, because I do know that, you know, you may not be the best-selling author, but it's a really great feeling to finish a book. It really
is.
And when you're done, it's like, oh, my God, I did this. And you know what? And it, you know, and the good thing now is, because it used to be horrible, because if you couldn't get published, you were done. But see,
right.
now it's you're not done. You're just beginning. And I am an advocate for both ways, publishing and self-publishing, because I've done both. And I really feel like if I'm going to write something, I know that if I can't get it published, I will publish it myself and go out there with it, and I'll be happy that I did it. And that's the end of it, because years ago you can't. And so now if you keep writing, and, you know, you never know who's going to like your book and who isn't. And just because it's self-published does not mean you cannot be successful. You can
well,
be very successful.
Yeah, and I love this. Well, I love what you're saying about that, too, because we just had an author who's only been traditionally published, and she writes both in the children's YA market as well as just general, you know,
right.
Nonfiction for adult, you know, readers. Market as well, and I think she's done maybe some fiction as well for adult readers. But anyways, her name's Hope Irvin Morstein, and just a wonderful lady, fabulous lady. She didn't get into writing until she was, you know, in her retirement years. You know, worked in libraries, teaching background.
A lot of them did.
And the thing is, like I said, all her books all her books are traditionally published. They're all with reputable, well-known, middle to high-level publishers, you know, so, you know, not even small publishers. I'm talking, like, names most people will know. And she has this one book idea, but because of the timeline for this book, she has to get it out before this year is over. Well, in traditional publishing,
It's almost impossible.
I know.
So she is going to self-publish the book to make sure it happens.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the thing people need to realize is with self-published books, sometimes it's because of a timeline, you know, situation that you that
well,
they decide
so much
to self-publish.
Look, it's so much faster. And, you know,
it is.
I mean, I think and one of the things for writers that is really good is to, you know, I kept thinking, like, how is everybody pumping all these books out? I mean, and they are. And, you know, for some people it works, and maybe some of the books aren't as good as others, but when you develop a fan base, your reader wants more. Like Danielle Steele, she puts out books all the time, and they're because and she has loyal followers, and that's what any author wants, is loyal people that will buy their books and like them. So I think I have to myself try and write more than I did before, because I really that's why some of the smaller books I think it's good, and because of the iPad you can have like a 100-page book and get it, you can get a nice little story that way. And you know, I think that it's not so overwhelming to people, and certainly people that are just wanting to change maybe from the children's market to a romance market to a thriller market or whatever, I think if they don't have such a you know, if you have like a, just a smaller goal, I think it's better sometimes, because sometimes you can't reach the goal and then you give up. And I really feel that people need to keep going, and that is how they'll keep going. But if they feel they're overwhelmed, like sometimes like when I'm watching American Idol, which I watch it a lot, and I think it's so fabulous how these kids who never would have had careers are getting them. However, it's you can see it's a very, by now, like in the season, it's a very big toll on them. It's hard. They're overwhelmed. It's intense, very intense.
Right.
And, you know, and I think sometimes the judges don't realize how hard these kids, I mean, they understand how they're doing it, but the overwhelming amount of work that they do in a short period of time, and people are standing there judging them, it's very hard to accept sometimes for the kids. You know, they're very exhausted. You can see it as a mother. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there, and I know I am very mothering, but I do feel that I look at them and I go, oh, my God, they look like they're so tired. They can't handle even, you know, the fact of doing another thing or somebody saying something bad to them because they're just tired.
Well, and I love that you just brought that up, because for those, you know, for those who want to write stories, you know, fast and turn them around, because, like, you know, the more stories I can write, the faster I can turn them around. You know, the chances of me being published, the chances of me making this a career that brings in a livelihood that I can, you know, support myself or my family on is more probable, then I think in those cases you really need to look into, like, a writing coach. Because and I say that because when I think about if I want to sit down and write a book in 30 days, you know, and like I said, I've done the nano thing. And when I do it, the thing that helps keep me going is because I'm on there. You know I'm trying to reach that 50,000 word, I guess it's the minimum because you can go beyond that. But that's like the big goal. Anyways, you know, I'm looking at other authors that are posting, okay, I'm at, you know, 23,000 words now, or I'm at 12,000 words, or wherever they're at, you know, depending, you know, through the process, and it keeps me motivated. It keeps me going. The thing is I'm not getting the feed. I mean, you can post stuff on there, but you're not really getting the feedback and stuff you need. So if you really want something that from start to finish that I think is publishable, that can be submitted, you really need to invest in working with an editor who has the time that they can donate to you for that month, so you can every, you know, couple of days or at the end of every week send them, you know, the manuscript for them to go through and critique and line edit and send back to you, kind of thing. Or get a writer's coach, you know, who can do that, as well as motivate and give you writing tips and a bunch of other stuff along the way.
Well, because I get inhibited myself, you know, by the fact that I know off the bat I need editing, and it does inhibit people. And I think sometimes, you know, and my editor said to me, he goes, like, just write it and I'll do it. You know, don't worry about it. But in every author's mind, it's the editing, you know, and if you're not, everybody needs editing, no matter who it is. But sometimes that does inhibit people because you're going like, oh, I know that this should be a comma. And, you know, you're right.
Well, but, and that's what I'm saying, by enlisting a partner, even if you have to pay for that person, you know, to be there, it's an investment that's worth it, because then maybe you will be able to, from start to finish, actually have from idea to rough draft to the bazillion revisions you're going to have to do to a submittable, you know, manuscript, that it is possible in 30 days. But there's definitely key things I think you need to have in place if you're
you know, I think a novice to an intermediate writer. I mean, if you're an advanced writer who's been doing this for a long time and you're trying to get quicker with your writing, I'm pretty sure you've got a lot of the tools down to do it. You just need the book to help outline it for you. But, you know, that's just kind of what I think anyways.
Yeah,
anyways.
I think, you know, and you read a lot of books because, you have a lot of children's authors. I mean, you know a lot of them. And, you know, and a lot of them have had to self-publish. And they are really good quality books. Because I've listened to a lot of your shows, and then I go look at some of the writers, and you know they're very, and so sometimes you know you can have an editor help you, and you will get that finished product looking good. I mean, and that's really what it's about. You know, you need it in good condition to send it out, and a lot of people are under the misconception that if you go to a publishing company, they're going to help you. Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, you know, and I can talk about that because I just worked with an author who's a wonderful guy, and he's actually going to be a speaker at our conference out here in St. George in October. And his name's Dave Rosenstein. He has an amazing
thriller-type
book. Yeah, I've told you about it. Yeah, you know who he is, Marcia. And we spent... When I first talked to him, because he hired me to do line-by-line editing for him, when he first hired me, it ended up turning into more of a working, writing, coaching type relationship. And we ended up spending, I want to say, about four and a half months on his book. Because once I got and really saw it, I was like, well, you know, there's definitely stuff you need to bring out in the book and stuff that that didn't need to be in the book. And he had already sent it to a publisher that edited the book, and he wasn't happy with the edits. And you know, and that's why I brought that up, because for exactly that, I'm not going to say the publisher is or what book it is.
It doesn't matter.
But my point is, you know, this author expected the editorial team at this publishing house to do all this stuff, and they didn't. And so he ended up pulling it from them, hiring me as a freelancer, and now the book is where it needs to be. And he's been sending out query letters and has been getting so many people interested and offers on the table that he's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Yeah, but we know because, and, you know, it's just that I think that is a thing that, you know, working with someone can help people, you know, and they're called book shepherds, they're called coaches. I mean, there's a lot of people now that need that, and there are a lot of people out there, however, you know, as well as I do, the thing is finding the good one. And so, you know, I think what we're offering people now is trying to put them in the right spot. If we can't do it, we'll send them to somebody else or whatever, because I don't like to refer too much unless I know the people. I just want to know who they are, because you just can't go out there and be on the open market and just get work done and get quality work. It does, there's a lot of people out there, and you don't know who they are. So I think sometimes, you know, naturally we have a lot of different people on our show, and so, like, we know a lot of people now, which we didn't before. So whatever problem somebody occurs somebody, we can ask a question, we can see what happens, we can send them to the right place. You know, you do a lot of things, you know, we have a lot of things going on, and, you know, and we can refer to people we absolutely know, because I try a lot of things. People know that. I do. I try a lot of things, and if they don't work, and you try them too, if they don't work, we don't talk about them, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, which is exactly why I brought up, you know, the show today, you know, when Marsha and I were talking, is because, like I said, I've done nano. I've done the 30-day write a book, you know, start to finish, and realize, you know, some people can do this, and but they've had prep work. They have somebody that they've partnered with, like a writing coach, like, you know, a book shepherd, just like Marsha said, a freelance editor, that they have lined up. So when they actually, you know, do this, if they do it from start to finish completely where it can be a submittable manuscript, there's a lot of – and there's a lot of structure. I mean, you have to really dedicate the time involved, you know, and realize I'm going to need, you know, depending on what type of writer you are, you know, 4 hours a day or 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day to sit there and just write with no interruption to make it happen. Because if you don't really –
the only way a story gets consistent is by keep writing it. If you stop for a while, you break the thoughts in your mind.
Well, and what I was going to say is, it's just like, you know, when we talk about authors, you know, who are at the point where they're, you know, getting ready to publish and they're putting their marketing stuff together, you really have to put a plan together. Nobody goes and starts a company without writing out an outline, you know, their objectives.
A business plan.
And that's exactly what writing is. It's a business. And I don't remember which author told me this, but they told me that yes, they're an author and they look at themselves as a business, but they also look at each book as a business because each book has its own things that need to happen.
Oh, that's right.
To get it to where
and every genre is different, and right, and that is true. And I think that like every assignment, every book that you do is different. And if somebody has a bestseller, does not mean that the next one will be one.
Right.
And it's just always a challenge, but you just have to fit your life to fit the challenge and keep doing it. And, you know, and so that's why we're going to do shows like this. And, you know, and people, if they want us to talk about certain topics or have people on, they can always reach either of us, you know, or go to World of Ink Network and let us know what they want, because we know a lot of people that can come on. And we want to do this because we're writing also. So, I mean, and I think the more I listen to a lot of the shows, I think really it helps. It helps me.
I agree too. Yeah. And just so people know, if you go to worldofinknetwork.com, we actually do have a contact us form where you can fill out all that, you know, fill out topic,
yeah.
you know, show ideas, you know, have a question.
And we kind of put
like
it together
to
now. We kind of put my stuff in there, too. We're going to do that because it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
So they don't have to, you know, like Michigan Avenue Media, I'm just changing it over where I'm going to have a small page, but it'll go right to your page because it doesn't make sense to have the same things over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think people don't want to have to go looking all over. So I everything that I do will be on Virginia's site, you
well,
know,
not
because,
my site. It's our
well, I mean,
site.
You know, right, your site, yeah. You did this right. I call it your site because you're the
because I
mean,
did the web design.
Yeah, you do really, really good websites. I mean, you do.
But
you know,
it's our site. It has all of my stuff and all of Marcia's stuff. It's,
I know.
It's our partnership site because exactly that. We don't want you to have to go, oh, I want to know something Virginia did that's more children related. I have to go over here.
Right.
Or I want to know more about scripts. I need to
go
over
here. Both do different things. And so that's why it's just easier if they can go to one place and look at it. And you know, and you're very good at it. I like my Michigan Avenue, but I think I'm done with that now because I think it's too much. Because I looked at, you know, and it's just easier for people to find everything. Because I think people want it much easier. They just can't do, you know, they just don't want to go to 100 sites. You know, they want to find what they need.
Information overload.
Oh, boy. I have I do. And, you know, and sometimes I write links down and I go, like, what was this about? I go, okay, fine. You know, and so, I mean, we all do the same thing. So, I mean, I think that's what our show does. We do what everybody else does. We are we're just like everybody else. I mean, we might have a show, but we are going through everything that they go through or have been there or are yet to be there. You know, and every assignment, every book is, you're right, a different, you never know if it's going to make it, if it's going to be good or not. And that's why people need to write, though, because they may have the next bestseller. There's nobody that can really just say, all right, this is a bestseller. You just don't know sometimes.
I agree.
It might be their book.
Yeah, and if you want to try and write in 30 days, great. But you know, like Marcia said earlier, everybody has their own techniques and style that works.
Right.
So maybe that isn't the right one for you. So don't quit writing because you tried that and it didn't work.
Right.
You know, pick a different,
one last thing before we end up, don't stop writing because a reviewer tells you they don't like your book.
Oh, yes. That's definitely
That's a whole other show. And we both discussed this on thing, but that's one thing. Do not stop writing because somebody gives you 1 stars, 3 stars. They tell you need this or that. Don't. Because keep writing.
Yeah, and it's
don't worry about that.
And it's one person's, you know, one person's opinion. I mean,
right.
Now, if you know, you get maybe, and I don't want to say stop writing because you get, like, I don't know, 500 bad reviews and only one good review, but then maybe what you need to look at is maybe that's not the genre you should be writing in and pick a new one to try.
Right, and try different ones, right. You know, and sometimes, you know, when you watch these shows, you know, like, you know, sometimes they have to tell you things to make you better. And I think if you're really good, you will understand that sometimes you need to hear something to make you better.
Right.
You know,
that's
so don't, you know, judge. Right. I mean, you do sometimes. Sometimes somebody has to say to you, you know, or write what you do say is true, though. You can't, you know, you just have to keep going. And you can't stop because you get that review that's bad. But you also have to sometimes listen to what somebody says. And it could help you.
Yeah, you definitely need to listen to.
You have to keep an open mind.
Corrective criticism, to make you better as well. Because I mean, I there's very few people who can step out onto a stage and do it right the first time.
Yeah. Right. It's a lot of. And what happens is a lot of times, you know, the performers, they all say the same thing. They're a wreck before they go out.
Yes.
And that's when they're on, you know.
I always think of that scene in Galaxy Quest. Have you seen that, Marcia? With Alan Rickman, and he has his panic attack before he goes out on stage.
Right.
And they're like, and Tim Allen walks in and goes, have I missed the panic? And he's like, oh, no, I haven't missed the panic attack
yet. I mean, the same problems that, you know, that's with the same problems the actors and actresses have. We have the same problems. They all have it. So, you know, just try, you're right, it is true. You know, nobody doesn't have to. I mean, it's just universal. It's not just a few people.
It's very true, and just because I don't know why. I was actually talking about this movie the other day to another writing friend because they were saying something, and I said, oh, it reminds me of in the Galaxy Quest when Alan Rickman's telling Tim Allen through the intercom. He's like, that's the matter with you. You've never taken the craft seriously. You know, and that's the thing. We can't, even though we give each other corrective criticism and make each other better writers, we also understand some people take things a little bit more seriously than others.
Yeah.
And but those are our different strengths as well as our weaknesses, and we need to recognize that and embrace it and then find ways to exploit it the best we can.
Because
honestly is what's going to make you stand out from everybody else.
Right. And you can't look at someone else and want to be them. You just be who you are and write what you want to write, and hopefully people will like what you write. And, you know, and that really is true. Those are the things that really, like, I think in 30 days you can do it, and then you do need rewrites most likely, but at least it's a start. So it gets you going, and that's whatever it is that gets you to start writing and finish.
Or if you've written the rough draft, then it's those 30 days to get you revised so it is maybe ready to send to a professional editor or if it's already really tightly done because you've taken different workshops and been to conferences and stuff and have taken, you know, writing classes or whatever, so you've already learned those tools, then, you know, instead of needing maybe a freelance, you know, editor to help you that one other step, you are at that point where you can start to send out your query letters and your synopsis and book package and all of that.
I mean, it's just right. And, you know, just try to believe in yourself that you can do this, because I do believe a lot of people can do it, you know, and it might not be right for you. So if you think it's not, stop for a while and start again, you know, but don't push yourself to try to write like somebody else. That doesn't work. It never does work.
Yeah, because that's my thing. You know, I know I'm not – certain things, yeah, I can write in 30 days, but I know I cannot write a novel in 30 days, and I would never set myself up for that goal.
Right.
For a complete finish, start to finish, you know, ready to submit manuscript, because I'm just setting myself up for failure. So just, you know, be realistic and, you know, realize that every book, you know, every manuscript, every script, whatever you're working on in itself is its own business with its own plan, with its own outlining.
Yeah.
And be realistic about what you're putting in front of you for goals, because and realize you can have big goals, but have medium-sized goals and small goals.
Yeah, because it does get overwhelming, and it gets overwhelming to even people that have 10 scripts or 10 books. It's always like it's a new day. Okay, there you are. And, you know, and don't be that hard on yourself, because sometimes if you don't feel well or you can't write, all right, so you'll write the next day. You know, don't, like, say, oh, I'm done now. You know, because some days it just doesn't happen.
Right.
It just doesn't. But, you know, that's how life is. And, you know, it's kind of, when writing is like life. Sometimes it isn't the best day or, you know, but it works out in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to believe that, or you can't go on. I mean, I believe that, otherwise I don't think I could have done this all these years. And I've had goals that I never even thought I had. I didn't have any, I had no set goal of anything, and I've done things that I can't even believe I did. I never thought I would do them, and I never thought I could do them. So just kind of, you go with life, and you just go, and it's more fun that way, because you just don't, you know, every day you do something different, or, you know, you move on to another phase of your life, and that's what they are. They're kind of like chapters, our life, you know, we just move on.
Yeah, and I think the best, really, honestly, the best advice I've ever heard from a fellow author who's been published by Penguin and Random House and HarperCollins, is she turned to me one day and she said, just realize you will always have a drawer full of manuscripts that will never see the daylight. Yeah. They will always be in the dark, dusty place.
Except
which
the good
means,
thing is now with self-publishing, you can get them out there, though. See, there's a shot, though. There's
yeah,
a
now,
shot
now
in
with
those
self-publishing,
drawers.
There is right. a shot with the self-publishing.
But, and in those
but
drawers, because I'm always like, take it out of the drawer, because, you know, in those
yeah.
drawers, you might have something. And,
well,
you know,
that,
and
that
if
was,
you,
but the
yeah.
reality, she told me that 7 years ago, which is
right,
that's
before now.
Stigma.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
But I took that to heart because I realized, okay, and
yeah.
I realized, you know, maybe this man, it's just not, there's just, right now isn't
right.
the time for this
the right
manuscript.
Time. Exactly.
So maybe now it is, and you pull it out and you dust it off. So exactly, don't
yep.
quit.
Yep.
We wanna,
right.
Yeah, I just want to say we want to thank everybody for listening today. We didn't
yes.
get any callers or any questions posted in the chat room. By the way, Marcia, one of our listeners did post in the chat room that you're a workaholic and they don't know
oh.
when you don't work in the day. And I laughed at that.
Oh, right. Yeah. so, I know.
People always they see us all over the internet everywhere, and it was like, holy cow, they must be robots. Honestly, we really are both cyborgs, just so you all know.
Yeah, I yeah.
and, yeah. we're the
most of the writers I know, most of the writers I know, a lot of them now, really a lot, they are working a lot.
We're all related to the Energizer Bunny, I mean, to be honest. Anyway. That's why you see us all on all the
time. Our next show, let's say, do you have a show? I have a show on Tuesday.
Well, I have a show Monday. I do have a show
okay,
Monday.
Right,
I'm
so
actually,
what's your show? What is your show Monday?
It's the 20. Yeah, the 23rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, making sure I have the right day. Anyways, so Monday the 23rd is a special Writing Mama show. It's because I don't do the Writing Mama show like I used to monthly. I only do that once in a while when I have like a really special guest. So I do have his name's Kenneth, and I think it's Wayner. I hope I got that right.
Yeah.
So they don't have my notes in front of me. Anyways, he's written quite a few different novels. He's a really funny guy. If you actually go and look up the description detail for Monday's show, he's standing there. His photo is him standing there holding a stuffed animal, smiling at the camera. And he's like, you know, he's not like 20-something. He's an older gentleman, so it's quite funny. So he's going to be fun. He has a lot of sense of humor. He's actually been on quite a few different types of radio shows throughout the years. So So he'll be a lot of fun. He's definitely a radio show type personality, just that way.
So I'll be listening to him.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about his recently released book, and then his two other novels, and just writing in general. Him and I have been chatting through LinkedIn for a while, and he actually listens to our shows, Marcia. So you know.
Good. Well, that's a good thing.
So he contacted me and was kind of chatting with me. I'm like, hey, yeah, let's have you on the show. Let's talk about your book.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to have you. And so yeah. So it's a special edition of the Writing Mama Show. And that will be on at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, noon Mountain, and 11 a.m. Pacific
right.
on Monday.
And then Tuesday I have, it's a little bit different show. I have Christy Condley and J.D. Holliday who have a new show where children's books are being read, and it's so cute. And they're going to come on at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Central, 8 Eastern, and they'll be on for a short while, and they're just going to be really talking about their show and the direction it's going in. It's a really cute show. I was on it, and the good thing is, after I read the book, then they put it out, and so now it's, you know, it's kind of an audio type of thing, and it was fun doing it. So they're going to come and talk about that. And then I have Scarlett Black, who is a World Castle author, and she's really good, and I'm having her alone on the show with Sandra and myself because I had her on with about 6 people. As we know, I have those shows, and I think, you know, she has a lot of things going on, and she has an agent, and she has scripts, you know, and she has books to movies, so I think she's going to be on afterwards, and I've not really done 2-part shows, but I'm going to try one on Tuesday, and that's at 7 o'clock Central, 8 Eastern, and at
yeah,
6
and then
Mountain.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
And also, Fran Lewis has been doing very well. She's been doing our shows now, coming, you know, having some of her authors, and she's had a really good week. And she was on as a guest, and then she's had some very good authors on. So she will be having a lot of best-selling authors on the New York Times, you know, list.
Right.
So
and if you haven't heard Fran's show, she was just on yesterday, so you can
yep.
go back and listen to her show from yesterday. And get a fill, and of course on all her other previous shows.
And she was on actually Tuesday as the guest talking.
Yeah,
about,
and Tuesday as the guest.
Delaney Oaks came down to surprise her, and both of them actually do reviews. So if people need reviews, just contact me, and I can get you in touch with Fran. And Delaney does them, so that was good. And you do book review. Are you still doing book reviews or not?
We only do them now for the World of Ink Tour, Stories for Children magazine. But Terry. forehand. Sorry, yep. I was going to say Foreman, and I had to stop myself. Forehand, our Family Matters blog editor, if she has time, you know, amongst her editorial duties and other jobs outside of Stories for Children, she will do book reviews on the Family Matters blog. So if you have something that's geared for parents, kids, teenagers, then she'll look at it, or family-oriented. She does not do romance. She does not do, you know, sci-fi, thriller, mainstream-type fiction. It has to be family-oriented, teacher-oriented, kid-oriented type stuff, because that's what the blog is. But if you have something like that, you know, you're more than welcome to go to the Family Matters blog, which is familiesmattertous.blogspot.com, and send an email to Terry Forehand and see if she, you know, would be willing to review your book if you do want to review. Otherwise, it's only through the World of Ink, World of Ink tours at worldofinknetwork.com that we do the book reviews, and then we're also adding a couple of new services as well with media releases and book reviews onto this site, where you know, we can shepherd it out to a reviewer, but it does cost a fee because we have to fund reviewers for you based on the type of book genre. So, yeah, but that is something we're
But I think it's really important to get to the right book, to get to the right people,
right,
as far as you
right.
don't want someone reading your book that does not read that genre. It,
right,
it
exactly.
doesn't work.
So we basically do the footwork for you to find the reviewers for you.
Okay.
So you're paying for us to do that. Versus,
well, yeah, but
you know,
do a lot of different services.
Yeah,
and,
because
you've been
and
around
I know,
for a while, and you have good people.
It's,
you have good
and
people.
It's time-consuming to sit there, because I know, because I did this. This is how I built up my huge network. I had to sit there and email people and talk to them and look at what they were at the reviews, and, you know, you just don't want to just blindly send stuff to somebody. So that
doesn't work.
So this is going to be research that's done for you, but it will be a paid service, because it's like being, you know, being a book shepherd. I'm basically being a book reviewer shepherd and finding that for you. But, you know, and it takes time. It takes time out of my day from my personal writing, and which I know
there's a lot to do. I mean, everybody is overwhelmed and they need help. I mean, honestly, I mean,
which is why I put my personal writing on hold, because instead of writing,
you can only make
doing.
You can only do so much.
I'm doing this right now to help other people, because eventually I won't have kids at home, and then I'll have more time in the day, and then I can do it then.
But we'll have a good weekend, and
there's one more show, Marsha, Wednesday.
Finally, we're having our
Family Matters show that has twice been canceled or three times been canceled because of technical difficulties. Cross your fingers, everybody, that there's no issues on this third Wednesday of the month, because we're trying to have our show on successful teens, and it's like, I think the seven steps to having a successful teen is what it's called, I think, something like that. Anyways, Keisha Bertram is trained in this topic. As a counselor, and then we're going to have Irene Roth on there as well, who is also a counselor and a mentor for teens, and is in the training for all of that as well. So it will be a really great show. So if you have teens or have friends who have teens, and it doesn't matter if they're already straight A students to F students.
Oh, yeah.
It's a show to listen to, because, trust me, I have a 16-year-old, and I looked at him, and he's a good kid. I mean, he's just your typical teenager with an attitude, but overall a good kid. But, I mean, sometimes trying to get him motivated or understand why he needs to start caring about his future, because, you know, and we all know as adults, when we were 16, we're like, when I'm 21, 25, that's years from now. And then all of a sudden you snap your fingers and you're that old and you go, oh, my gosh, what the heck?
It just happens so fast.
This show's going to help
does,
with that.
It opens fast.
So that,
it,
that's
it does.
Yeah, and that will be at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific, and that's this coming Wednesday. So definitely tune into that show as well.
Right.
And that's everything.
All right. All right, have a good weekend. It's like 30 degrees here,
weekend.
So it's going to be cold in here. I don't know.
We're going to be hot. So just you need to fly out here, Marsha. We're going to be over 80.
Yeah, right. Well, we're going to be like 35 right now. Oh, boy.
Well, you can come here and I'll go there so I can get a break. All right. Everybody have a good week, and
right,
thanks
take
for listening.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Follow me to the World of Ink.